What's up, gang? It's the 27th of October, 2016, and we're doing another mini-cast for you, post-game Jet stuff from Arctic Ice Hockey. I am one of your super fan pals. My name is Alan on Twitter. You can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Big Pappy Peg City. What up?
I'm Brian at Brian from AIH.
All right. So we've got a little gang here to talk about. I guess let's start off with tonight's game, shall we? I missed the first half of it because I went and saw a fantastic Oasis documentary.
Nice. What was it on?
Oasis?
Was it at a theater or something?
Yes, it was at a theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was at Cineplex. They did a one night thing playing this across Canada in a few theaters. So
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it was good. I'm assuming they'll do it again, but we'll see. But anyways, it looks like I missed some excitement right off the bat in the first period because our favorite defenseman, Tyler Myers, scored with 15 seconds in. I'm assuming you guys saw this?
Yeah. No.
I saw it, and it's almost like it was scripted, right? Like, this whole game is funny, though. Anyways, yeah, it was very fitting that Tyler Myers scored on the first shift.
He's a...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, he's killing my narrative right now.
We should mention the game was a 4-1 win for the Jets tonight over the Dallas Stars. It was their first regulation win of the season after 7 games, and good on them, right?
Yeah, you know, the result wasn't a surprise. Like last game too, they were dominating and they were outchancing the Stars, and you know, they just didn't have anybody that could finish. But it was a great start to the game, and you know what? They had momentum right from the hop. So, it was good.
Brian, when did you start watching the game?
I was watching in and out for most of the game. Kind of pissed because I missed Connor's first goal. I looked away for about 20 seconds, and I missed it.
So Connor scored at 16-12 of the first to put the Jets up 2-0. His first career NHL goal from Ehlers. Did you see it, Pappy?
Yeah, it was a 2-on-1. Like odd man rush, and yeah, a perfect pass from Ehlers, and the kid scored. But honestly, looking at those two play together, like crazy speed, and you could hear it in the interview today when Ehlers was asked about playing with Connor, and he was excited about it because yeah, they're pretty electric together. But yeah, he buried it. It was a pretty goal, pretty first goal.
Brian, did you see Liney's first goal in the second? Or did you turn away for a second again?
No, I actually did see that one. It was nice.
So what happened?
He sniped at top corner.
Yeah, he got it on the left side, just above the dot. And he took his time and picked his spot. Crazy.
So that's basically
crazy shot.
That's basically his move, right? Like he doesn't even one time it a lot of the time, right? He just kind of looks and picks a corner and boom.
But his one-timer is deadly too. But yeah, he just, that shot, that release is just, it's hard for the goalies to read. And, you know, I'd be really surprised if anybody gave him that much space again, because his second goal was exactly the same thing, you know, with more space. Well, you know, he kind of waits for that traffic too. It's kind of funny. He waits for people to get in position and he picks the perfect spot. It's just crazy how his shot is accurate and how quick his release is.
So that was his fifth goal. That was on the power play. The Jets went up 3-0. Assists to Bufflin and Shifley. And then in the third period, very, very quickly, and this was, I was home at this point, but I missed this goal. Sagan scored his fourth, 33 seconds in, a power play goal. And it was 3-1. Mm-hmm. And then something a little scary happened. Who wants to talk about the scary moment?
Well, yeah, Roussel and Bufflin got tangled up, and you know, initially it looked like they just got tangled up, but upon replay, clearly,
yeah,
Roussel being the piece of shit that he is, yeah, slew Fritz Buff into the wall. It was pretty scary, yeah. Especially since Buff never really rides in pain like that, right? Last time he did, he was injured, and he was out of the lineup for a while.
Yeah, I saw the replays. I saw plenty of the replays. I mean, it looks pretty clear. I'm typically you know, one to kind of set my homerism aside as, you know, these things really? Happen. Yeah, right? But in this case, I saw it, and then looking at it, it was like, that was a pretty, like, clear little slew foot there. That was dirty.
That was.
A super dirty. Well, he's a dirty player. Like, he's a piece of shit. So he's been a piece of shit forever, yeah.
So fortunately, Bufflin was gone for about 5 minutes, but then came back and seemed to be okay.
Yeah.
He cleaned Sagan's clock, right, on the one of the power plays that Dallas had.
Yeah.
And then on another power play about halfway through the third, Liney again, pretty much identical, right? Like, gets the puck, picks a corner, boom, gets his sixth. He's tied for the NHL lead in scoring goals right now.
The kid is amazing. Like,
who is it that he's tied with again?
Is it the other rookie?
Yeah, it is.
Does Matthews have six now? He didn't get a point tonight. Mitch Marner got 3 assists though tonight, so there you go.
Yeah, looking at my Twitter feed, he was pretty. He was pretty electric too. Apparently,
Is that Marner or
Marner?
Oh yeah,
like the Leafs fans on my feed were just crazy about that one assist for sure. On a super wicked feed.
So the Jets end up with a 4-1 win. Dallas didn't score again, despite a couple of power plays where they pulled the goalie. The shots are 39-36 for the Stars, though I heard that like shot attempts were something like Dallas was in the 70s and the Jets were in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Jets go 2-for-7 on the power play, 1-for-6 giving up on the on being shorthanded. So that's pretty good for the night.
Yeah, percentages over the 100 mark, yeah. It was good. Like, all around. Like, even, you know, I hate to say it, it was after Stafford went down. Last game and some other forwards got more ice time. The Jets were good. They were playing with speed, skill, and, you know, not Matthias. Armia. He's playing phenomenally. He's playing. He's been playing well all year. And he impresses every game today too. Just always in the right spot.
So
go ahead.
I was going to say, looking over some ice time here. So Thorburn played and got his 7 minutes. So good on him. Kyle Connor got 9 minutes. He did get a minute on the power play, so that was all right. Bernie with 9 minutes, and then of course at the top end, Lowry got 21 minutes tonight.
Yeah, he's on that first unit power play too.
Yeah, he got almost he got over 5 minutes of power play time and 6 minutes of penalty killing.
Well, that penalty kill is fine. This is deployment on the power play, and you know what? That first line A goal, they gave, well, 90 anyways, gave Lowry a lot of credit for his net front presence, but.
One thing that's nice to see, though, Wheeler, Scheifele, and Liney all have over 7 minutes of power play time to lead the team, so we're not fucking around anymore, like...
No.
With that first unit, we know what that is.
Well, he really... You know what? The difference is that on that 5-on-3, Lowry didn't get the minutes on that two-man advantage. It was Perreault, Wheeler, Scheifele, Liney, and Bufflin on the power play. And they were moving and passing the puck really well. And that's the key, right? And, you know, it was crisp, it was creative, it was good. And they found Liney, and he took his time and picked the corner.
Hey, Brian, how many minutes do you think your best friend Tyler Myers played tonight?
Oh, I'm looking, so it doesn't count.
Of course you're checking out his minutes.
Too many.
26.
That's what Pomo said. Pomo yep. said today that he was going to give him, try to get him to 25.
Well, and Bufflin being out for a portion of the third period is going to drive that up a little bit more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bufflin with 24 minutes, despite missing a little bit of the third. Enstrom with 20, just under 24. And then it drops, right? You got three dudes in like the 12 to 13 range for the other three. So clearly you're piling up your minutes on your top three guys.
Kind of have a problem where Mark Stewart has more time on ice than Josh Morrissey, but
PK time. That's where that, yeah, you know, Stewart was on the PK there, right? So
yeah.
Now Morrissey's doing neither at this point.
Yeah.
So before we get to, we can talk a little bit about, because we haven't done a show in a bit, so we can talk briefly about some other stuff, and also I want to talk a little bit about Trouba, because stuff came up today. Anything else on the game, though, before we go there?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Like, I mean, they had more finish. You know, Hellebuck was good, solid. You know, I'm a little worried about his glove side. He's beat there again today, and he looked kind of awkward on that second goal, but, you know, he was solid. His best game this year, so we'll see.
That's probably the best game for the whole team this year, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. From beginning to end, for sure.
So we had some stuff happen today. There was kind of some rumors floating around that there was going to be Jacob Trouba news at the start of the day. Who knew what that was going to be? And then quickly after that, the splash came out of Anaheim. Hampus Lindholm signed 6 years. Average value was, what, 5.25?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On a 6-year contract. So he is, Jacob Trouba is the last one, right? He's the last unsigned RFA. And so I listened to Lawless and his segment, and he basically said at this point, the market is pretty solid, right? Like, we know what the value is. We know what the contract should be. There are so many comparables out there. And at this point, there's still, you know, whatever reason he's not playing in Winnipeg. But now they've said as well that he's saying that he doesn't want to play in Canada.
Yeah, that's been something that's been talked about for the last little while. His girlfriend wants to go to med school. Being an American, she can't go to school in Canada, or it's very difficult to get into med school from the States into Canada, or else, you know, if it was easier, you know, by the boatload, they'd be coming to take med school here. But, yeah, that's been bandied about for a while, and makes sense.
Well, maybe.
It totally throws out the original concept that it was about usage, though.
Brian, what do you think? I have an opinion on that, but Brian, I want you to go next.
I think it could be a culmination of all of that. I still think usage might have something to do with it, like right side usage and power play. But this new thing about his girlfriend, and isn't she a Florida native? Which probably means he's going to want to go to one of those two Florida teams. Or that's not gonna home. So it's really narrowing down where he goes.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess, like, is it true? Is it really the girlfriend wants to go to school in the States and Jacob Trouba can't not be in the States? Like, he's going to forego all that money for the sake of his girlfriend?
There's a lot involved too, right? There's a lot involved. There's family, there's everything else. Like, I mean, this is the meal ticket, right? Right, Jacob Trouba is the meal ticket for that family, right? So family has a lot to do with what's going on here. Like, Jacob Trouba is not going to do anything without direction from his dad or whoever's influencing him on that side, right? So, you know, someone was making a point today that, you know, his dad was trying to already create a brand for him early on with, you know, that app, the Jacob Trouba app, and the YouTube channel that he had with his brother. And, it might be just that he doesn't want to play here. He doesn't want to play Canada. He wants to be either close to the Midwest or, like Brian said, in Florida. But there aren't those deals to be had. If he wants to go to Florida, Tampa Bay's totally out of the picture. They're going to run into some serious cap problems in the next little while. So, and the situation, especially with a flat cap, like who really can't afford to do this? And, you know, the Jets aren't going to cave and lose a trade either. You know, it's not ideal for Jacob Trouba to sit for both sides, but the Jets sure as hell aren't going to take anything less than what they want and what their ask is. So, you know, The truth of the matter is the Jets have 4 years of control. So what's the best case scenario for both groups? Is that he signs and starts playing, you know? The value is in him playing. The value is in having a contract that's tradable. I can't see anything else happening. Like, who else is a suited partner for this trade?
Well, and as we approach December 1st, and in a couple of days we're a month away, I think the pressure is on Trouba, right? That's where it grows. I mean, the team is committed to their stance by the sound of it. The fan base, still in general, is on board with the decision. I'm assuming that True North is fine with it. Ultimately, if it's like, okay, he doesn't come back, and whatever it costs us in terms of our, you know, our playoff push, we'll figure it out. In the meantime, we save $5.5 million on this, and he's still our asset to deal with down the road, right?
Mm-hmm. And they can't have a bad precedent. The Jets can't have a bad precedent. They can't have, you know, their second ever draft pick dictate what's going to happen because he doesn't want to play. And this is the worst thing that could ever happen. Every Jets fan's worst fear is happening right now with this Jacob Trouba situation, right? Well, we all have this anxiety that nobody wants to be here.
Yeah, but it depends. Right? It depends on what the extent of it is, too, right? Like, I still think there's a lot of hearsay in these stories, but if his agent is calling around and kind of making other Canadian teams who are interested in him cold because they're saying that he's not interested in going there, you think eventually a lot, like, that can't just raise alarm bells in Canada. You've got to have other GMs looking at it going, well, fuck that guy. Like, we don't want to deal with this either.
Well, yeah, no. But if you're an American market, why would you worry? You know what I mean? Like, but the truth is there isn't that type of trade that's available for them, though. That's the plain truth. Like, with what Winnipeg's asking for, who really can make that trade right now? Like,
assuming the Canada thing is true, the list of teams falls exponentially.
Almost a third.
Yeah.
Of the league. Set, you know, if he doesn't want to play for seven teams, right? And you know, and who knows if some of the smaller American markets too, he doesn't want to go to. Right?
Well, and again, if you've got a problem with one of your own defensive assets, let's say, or if you're the opposite of the Jets and you have tons of talent on one side but you're desperate on the other and want to balance it out, those are really the only two motivations to just trade and flip guys. Even if you think that Trouba is the better player, if things are kind of jiving for your team, why fuck it up by A, making a trade, and B, you know, trading an asset that might be more solid for something that might be talented but a little more toxic?
But he's not really toxic if he's here. He's not really toxic if he signs and he plays. He's not, you know, so he doesn't want to be here long term. Well, what's the best way for him to achieve that? What's the best way for him to achieve that? You know, what's the best way for the Jets to get him in uniform again and get him playing? Like, you know, to me, if he signs a long term deal with the Winnipeg tax, right, above market, long term, you know what? What's the best case scenario for Jacob Trouba if the Jets retain control? That he's a Winnipeg Jet for another 4 years. That's the best case scenario right now. The Jets have control for 4 years. So what's the best deal for him? So say he signs a 6 or 7 year deal with a little bit above market value, you know, 10 to 12% above market value. At year three, that term and that dollar amount might be very appealing, or will be very appealing. You know, 25-year-old right shot defenseman with 4-year term left with at about $6 million a year. You know, if Jacob Trouba pans out and he gets utilized the way that he should be as a top three defenseman, right? how many people would want to have that asset at that point. So maybe Jacob Trouba gains a year and gets that trade after year three. Who knows? You know, but it's better for him to play, prove his worth, and have that contract in hand, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah,
on both sides.
Oh, sorry, go, Brad.
No, that's all I was going to say was yeah. I agree.
The story doesn't add up on Trouba's end for me now. Like, I can understand.
Boy,
because you obviously still want to get the contract. Like, in the end, you are losing money as you sit there and wait, right? So, you know what the situation is for the team trying to ship you around. And you already know that they're going to only accept very limited trade offers to get you out of there. And now you're going to handcuff them even further?
Well, you know what, though? So how much of this is Trouba, how much of this is Overhart, right? So at some point in time, Jacob Trouba and his camp, with no money coming in and no prospects for making that money, are going to have to really look at Kurt Overhart and ask if his best interests are what he has in mind, right? So he doesn't want to play in Canada. What's he going to do? What are the options? Yeah, he can go to Europe. Is that going
to... Well, if he wants to be closer to his girlfriend in the States, how's Europe any better?
Exactly. Like he, on every front, there is, like, he loses more and more leverage. He has no leverage. He's in a compromised position as it is with this current CBA and the fact that he is a controlled asset for the next 4 years.
Yeah, doesn't add up. Like, you know, I'm sure everybody's thinking that we're talking about a $5.25 to a $5.5 million deal, and that's what it's going to be. Something tells me, and again, I'm sure I'll get proven wrong when he actually signs whatever it is, but I get the feeling that he still thinks he's worth more than that, and that's the problem.
And he might be, like, who knows? Like, and yeah, you know what? You know what? If he looks at this team...
Hello?
Oh, he got disconnected.
Well then, Brian, what do you think while we try to get him back?
I think his girlfriend should go to medical school in Grand Forks. But continuing on Pappy's point, I might be wrong. Are backloaded contracts still allowed?
Backloaded?
Could he sign a contract that's a little lower now, but knowing if he steps his game up, he'll be getting way more in the future?
Well, the Lindholm contract was backloaded.
Yeah, he signed for $3 million for the rest of this year, and then more for the remainder of the contract. Averaging out to 5.25.
Right? I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if there are percentage limitations, but you know, I think in the end, you definitely can have a little bit more pay later on. But that pay is guaranteed. Like, if you're getting paid more down the road, then it doesn't matter whether his play steps up or not, right? Like, there.
You no, I just kind of meant that in a general sense.
I mean, he could try that, but I think ultimately. I know it matters to the player because you want to get that money in your hands at some point, but in the end, you're going to make this much money over this much time. So I don't...
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we can talk about this more at length. I think we're going to try to do a full-length Superfans podcast on the weekend. So
so much to talk about.
We'll talk about the Heritage Classic and all that stuff too over the weekend. In the meantime, we can do a couple of quick Ask the Superfans questions. If you have any, and we got a couple, use the hashtag Ask the Superfans and we will answer them. I have here, actually, let's see if there's any older ones from...
There's some from earlier this week.
From earlier this week, right?
Yeah, I had one.
All right, so let's go from earlier this week first, back to the 25th of October. Number one, Katorius B.I.G. fan, that would be Kit Kat. Is Chevy's Teflon suit wearing out in Winnipeg? It's been 6 years and the results haven't improved. No, it's not.
No.
No, the only one that's going to be on the hot seat, if anybody is Paul Maurice. Like he'll be the first one to have anything, any negative light shone on him. But Chevy is never going to have anything negative put towards him at all. So
not for at least another 5 years.
Yeah. Hangar Hockey at Hangar Hockey. I don't know what this is that he's talking about, but I'm going to check it out. Thoughts on the 16-year... Oh, actually, no, I do. No, actually, I don't totally know this. Thoughts on the 16-year Fanatics NHL jersey deal?
Oh, God.
Tell me about it, Brian.
All right. So the website Fanatics that does distributing now for the NHL, I believe Major League Baseball, too. When Adidas takes over the jersey deal... all of the replica jerseys are going to be Fanatics branded instead of Adidas branded. And they're going to be, I guess, Fanatics produced jerseys as well.
Okay.
And
are they going to be shit?
Yes.
Because you're a jersey fan, right?
Yeah.
As I am.
They're not going to be branded like the official ones, which may not matter to some people, but that bothers the hell out of me. And they're going to be produced a lot differently than the on-ice ones. They had a sample picture of what they're going to look like. They look shiny. Like, it almost looks like a jersey you'd find at, like, a Walmart or something.
Ugh.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
Fuck.
And all right. You're going to be buying those for $130.
And it's a 16-year deal?
Yeah, 16-year deal, and I don't know if there's an opt-out.
So it's a 2032. All right, great. Yeah.
I don't know if Adidas is going to do, like, authentics, or if so, I'm going to have to step up and buy the authentics, but...
Okay, then. Well, there you go. Let's see here. We have, scrolling up, a couple more from tonight. Hangar Hockey again at Hangar_Hockey. What did you, in all caps, hate about tonight's game?
I hate the fact that tonight was the first night that they put Kyle Connor with Nikolaj Ehlers. And I hate the fact that it took Drew Stafford to get hurt for him to be trusted for Drew Stafford to be put down in the lineup. That's the only thing that I hate about it tonight.
And Roussel.
Yeah, and Roussel.
I hated that too.
He's a POS.
Yeah, that Slewfoot was dirty as fuck. So, yeah, I agree. Not much else. I mean, I'm still... it's been a frustrating start to the season. I hate... Not as much about tonight's game, but I hate when you get commentary that's like, well, we're six games in, they're still trying to figure it out and sort shit out. And it's like, well... Yeah, but in the meantime, some other teams have sorted it out, and you're already losing ground, right? So hopefully they've really started sorting it out, and we'll see what happens, but I never like that narrative.
I mean, I think the Jets are gaining some ground, just on Nolan Patrick and not...
And keep in mind, too, by the way, that this entire roster was together pretty much from the start of training camp, because they all got knocked out of the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
So they should have an advantage there, too. But anyways. Ryan Nother, at Ryan Nother, asks, ideally, what would you like the line combos to be?
Who wants to go?
Off top, I want Line A and Ehlers together. I like that. You can put them on their natural wings. That's all I could think of. Maybe try Connor in the middle. Who knows?
So you go with all rookies.
Yeah.
Or two rookies in a second year.
Embrace the youth movement.
So then what does that make your top line? Like Scheifele, Wheeler, and... I mean, they had Liney out there with the two of them, right?
I guess, yeah.
I like Scheifele and Wheeler. Yeah, I like Scheifele and Wheeler together. I like to see, I mean, Liney or Ehlers, whoever is kind of on the more dangerous run. And I mean, right now it's Liney, right? I feel like you put your power all on that line. I like, you know, Connor and Ehlers, and I mean, unfortunately, Little's hurt right now. So it becomes a question of who centers that line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have, I think Perreault was doing it for a while, wasn't he? Does he play center?
Yeah, he's been playing center this year.
He's a second line center right now, right? So the top three centers to start were Scheifele, Perreault, and Little.
Yeah.
Right?
I think as a fourth line, I mean, that combination of Mathias and Armia, I mean, as a fourth line, seems to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, but if you have Armia with somebody better, like, he's got more points and there's more finish. Like, Mathias just can't finish, and I don't know, he's good and all, but, I mean, if Brian Little is healthy, then it changes a lot of this, right? You drop Lowry down to the fourth line with Tanev and Mathias, I think. And then you bring up a Marco Danault to get in the mix in the top nine. But, you know, even a line of Little Armia and Connor would be a lot better than what's out there right now. Like, I mean, I'd like to see that. That'd be a pretty balanced line that I think would be very good, right? Armia is so good defensively and turns the puck over, and you know, to have a guy like Connor skating up ice with him when he does, you know, create those turnovers in the neutral zone, he's really good at that, and on the back check, Armia is he's wicked. He's a fiend on the back check too. Like he's impressed me a lot this year, but he just doesn't have the finish or the skill with him either, right? But Brian Little, healthy, makes, you know, this is what makes me very optimistic for this year, is if Brian Little is healthy, just look at the options that you have up front.
I think that your top six is pretty set. You know, your bottom six, you're still kind of, I think they're still kind of juggling this around and trying to figure it out. Because
but with a healthy Little, that top six becomes a top nine pretty evenly. You know what I mean? And then even your fourth line, just imagine if you could have a fourth line with a Lowry and Mathias on the fourth line. Like that's four pretty solid lines, and you could plug and play anybody on that right wing on that fourth line, and it'll be sufficient. Like, even with a Thorburn, if you're going to ice Thorburn, right? But the thing that gets me is there's a problem created and a vacuum created when Stafford is healthy, right?
Yeah.
Because where do you put him? Like, you can't put him in a bottom three role because it's useless.
You put him in a trade, right? And get something back for him.
Yeah.
That's the problem, though. For them to trade him, they've got to play him. For him to have any value, any significant value for return, right? And they're caught in this. And not only that, they like his game. They like his game. They like what he brings to the table, which is why he's, you know, pushed up there.
But he's a square peg in this lineup.
Well, absolutely.
There's no place for him to play.
You know, in large part, Pomo lucked out because he got hurt, right? Because he can't. I just don't think they're properly managing that. They're not properly managing the forward core. It brings me to another point. Like, I can't believe they haven't called anybody up. So if Brian Little, they think, is out till late November, is what Pomo said, why haven't they replaced him on the roster? Why haven't they brought anybody up yet? Just odd to me.
The last Superfans question, I'm not exactly sure why it was asked. I'm going to guess, though. It was Peter Tessier at Tedier on Twitter. Asked, why do these things happen? I think he means, why do these little podcasts happen? I'm not sure.
I think he's asking a question that really doesn't pertain trying to be funny.
Oh, why do these things happen? I don't know.
because they do.
Yeah.
Because.
And we do these mini casts because we are super fan elite and we need our voices to be heard.
The most elite.
The highest of tier.
Yes.
All right. So on that note, that's our little talk for tonight's game. We're going to try to come back. I think over the weekend we'll do a full Superfans podcast and then maybe another mini next week. Our schedule is going to be a little funny still going forward because I'm gone next weekend, and Brian, you are too.
Yep.
Brian and I have our. It's going to be a nice little meeting. Well, maybe we should film it for everybody when we actually.
Oh yeah, have a little reaction.
Yeah, yeah. When we meet at the Detroit Red Wings game in a week, so so we'll figure out scheduling stuff. Keep you posted at AIH Superfans is the place to get all that info. In the meantime. I am Alan at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Poppy, lining with the shot, boy.
I'm Brian, Brian from AIH, and I'm the new Jets royalty.
sounds good, gang. We will see you all later. Good night.